Can I just say that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording will subsequently be made available via the Council's website, charnwood.gov.uk/pages/committees. Please note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Thank you. Right, we'll start with item one, apologies, please.
None received.
Thank you. Minutes of previous meeting. To confirm as a true record, the minutes of the meeting held on the 9th of September 2019. Are there any matters arising on these minutes?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to report that on minute number 12, Mandatory Standards and Probity Training, that we have two members that still need to undertake the training. We have, however, undertaken a recording of the training session, and that will be circulated once we can get it onto an IT system for members to listen to the recording and view the PowerPoint slides as well. Thank you.
Can I make a change to the agenda tonight, please? And that is...
You need to confirm the minutes.
Everybody confirm the minutes as a true record? Thank you.
Excuse me, I wasn't at that meeting, so I can't confirm or deny.
We're going to have a change to the agenda. We would like... Disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. I would like to declare an interest in the plans, being a member of the Plans Committee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'd like to do the same.
Thank you.
I would also like to do the same.
Questions under Committee Procedure 12.8. No questions were received. Oh, we're going to change this round, aren't we? Now we're going to have a change of the agenda here because Richard wants to get off. So we're going to bring through the review of the Planning Code of Good Practice now, so that he can get away, and then we'll put update of complaints received next. Okay.
So, Madam Chairman, this is Karen Widdowson speaking. So, the Planning Code of Good Practice is on the agenda as part of the annual review of the Constitution. We've had one suggestion from a member, which is Councillor Rowlands, who is also a member of the Member Conduct Committee. And the response from the Head of Planning and Regeneration, Richard Bennett, is also set out in that in the report. I will now pass over to Councillor Rowlands so that he can go through his suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So the suggestion that I put forward was in relation to one very specific section of the Constitution. And the reason for my proposal for an amendment here is because, as currently drafted, the guidance there would mean that a councillor would need to declare any contact with any developer, applicant or objector, which in my view is quite broad. So I recognise the Head of Planning and Regeneration's comments in relation to members of the Plans Committee, and I think they clearly do need to be treated separately. But in terms of contact with developers for all councillors, as currently drafted, I think this is too wide. And, for example, me in my day job would probably get caught by this quite often. But equally, I think you could even go as far as saying contact with developers about issues on developments, nothing to do with planning, but just about developments in your patch. If you've got problems with various things, you've potentially been in breach of the constitution with that. So that's where my comments have come from. But I recognise what's been said in response, and I'm happy to listen to people's comments. Thank you.
Has anyone got any comments, please? Okay.
Sorry. Councillor Hatzinicolau. I very much sympathise with Councillor Rowling's issues. And if I recall well, in a previous meeting, I fully supported his views. And I will absolutely be behind you in this matter. So if you put as a proposal, if you want a seconder, I will second you.
Thank you. Can I also come in here? We've always, people on the Plans Committee have always been advised that if you're going to have a meeting with a developer or a landowner, to have a member of, to have an officer with you. That is advice that we've always been given.
Sorry, Chair, Councillor Hamilton here, sir. Yeah, my observation is I'm sympathetic to the sentiment of it. The reading, I would say there's, and I don't know if I'm reading it rightly, there isn't an actual obligation, it's more an advice, and therefore there is some councillor discretion in this matter, and therefore one could conclude if it's some contact you have to do as part of your business that isn't to do with planning, you may not choose to, but then of course that runs the risk if someone points out that you haven't notified it. So I'm kind of on the fence almost in this, because I can understand the wording is kind of has flexibility, but what's the risk if you don't, you know, you don't need to therefore report everything, but what happens if you underreport? So that's what I'm trying to weigh up to decide.
Just a very quick point just about a comment made a couple of minutes ago. There has to be a very clear distinction between members of the Plans Committee and other members, and it's absolutely right that as drafted, the Constitution does do that. And it must always be the case, of course, that members of the Plans Committee aren't anywhere near developers or applicants without assistance and guidance from the planning team at Charnwood. Otherwise, you are clearly putting yourself in a very difficult position. So there's got to be a very clear distinction between the two. But my comments were more about the obligation on members that aren't part of the Plans Committee, because clearly Plans Committee members have to be held to a different standard. But equally, just very briefly as well, in terms of what Councillor Hamilton said, he's absolutely right. And that's something I've thought about since receiving the response, is that providing there is an element of discretion, then I would be more relaxed about it. I think I've made my point, it's on record, and I will accept the decision of the committee.
It is first. Just for a clarification, I always recognize the absolute need to declare any contact with developers, but actually there should not be restriction to contact developers. Yes, you contact, and then you declare it, everything is transparent, but actually just to have an officer with you every time actually to go and talk about an issue, about the development, I think it's a bit too much for me. Thank you.
Councillor Ball, I can sympathise with Councillor Rowlings, but I do think things should be very transparent. And why I don't think councillors should have to have an officer with them, I think it should be declared, because for members of the general public's sake, they should be, everything should be seen to be above board. So I think it should be declared.
Chair, it's Councillor Hamilton. Just kind of coming back, I'm still kind of thinking it through, because I understand the logic behind it. I'm just wondering, is there a risk to a councillor in general if the wording isn't in there, therefore they almost become too relaxed about it? They don't feel there's something to think about whether they should declare it or not. You know, it's the opposite way around feeling that you must declare everything. Is there a risk that you don't declare anything? And therefore that could be a risk in future. So that's what I'm trying to weigh up. I don't want to be burdensome in councillors, but you also need to protect councillors as well.
Good evening, members, and thank you for taking this item first on the agenda. It's very kind of you. Richard Bennett, Head of Planning. I think that Councillor Hamilton has just about put his finger on the money with this one. In the way that the Constitution is written at the moment, it seeks to provide flexibility to those members who aren't members of the Plans Committee to be able to have discussions with residents within their wards and people that are looking to bring forward developments. It doesn't preclude them from having those discussions. It does advise that members not to provide any technical responses to developers or members of the public, and encourages them to have officers with them if they would find that helpful. But it does seek to strike a balance. It leaves it for the ward council to decide whether they need to have support or whether indeed they should notify the contact through to the planning office. So it tries to strike that balance, which we think is probably the right way forward, rather than being overly prescriptive about notifying head of planning or monitoring officer every time they have contact, because we understand that ward councillors receive a lot of correspondence all the time from lots of different people, and I think it would probably grind the system to a halt if they try to notify everything. So I think trying to focus on those things which are, in the opinion of the ward councillor, are most relevant. I think those things be notified, I think, is the right balance.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wants to speak?
So Karen Widdowson speaking. So members, it's been moved and proposed already that there was no change to the plans committee, but I understand Councillor Rowlands, you wanted to extend that, or is that you still wish to, now you've listened to the head of planning?
Yeah, having reviewed the response when the papers came out, I'm not going to actually put a proposal to follow through with a change. I accept the point about discretion and that there is an element of discretion given to councillors and also officers. I think the particular circumstances I was getting at are fairly unique, and it's a balanced risk that I take, and the reason I'm able to do that is because I have no part in the plans process at Charnwood as a councillor, and that's the way that I manage that risk, is I have no involvement in anything to do with plans at Charnwood. So whilst I think technically I would be in breach of this, I think the reality is it's as transparent as it possibly can be. So on that basis, I'm not going to propose that an amendment's made. Thank you.
Right, can I have the views of the members as keeping the Constitution as it is? Are you quite happy to do that? Or would you like to see any changes?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Councillor Bentley, I'm happy to keep it as it is.
I think following the clarifications we received this evening, I'm happy for it to stay as it is.
Can we have a show of hands on that then, please? That is carried, and clearly we will not change the Constitution. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. We'll carry on to item 5, which is on page 7, which is the Member Conduct Committee report of the monitoring officer. Update on complaints received.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Karen Widdowson speaking. I am reporting on behalf of the monitoring officer that since the last meeting of the committee, there have been no complaints received. However, since the agenda publication, we have received 2 more complaints, one relating to a parish councillor and one relating to a borough councillor. They are currently at the investigation stage, of which I am undertaking at the present time. And that's what all I wanted to say, and the report is for noting. Thank you.
Anybody, any comments? Thank you.
Just a question. So just become a bit more familiar with the process. So when there is a complaint against a councillor, parish councillor or borough councillor, there is an investigation conducted by officers of the council, and you see, is there any feedback of the on the outcome of the investigation to the Members Conduct Committee?
So to clarify, a complaint will come in for either a parish or borough councillor, and it will be a fact-finding investigation, and the conclusion of the monitoring officer or deputy monitoring officer is then there's a report sent to the independent person, they come back, and then sometimes the report can say that further action is required, and that's when it is referred to the member conduct panel. However, sometimes at the fact-finding stage, the monitoring officer, deputy monitoring officer, may find that there is no further issues to be looked into because it's at a fact-finding stage and the matter is closed at that point. When that happens, all that comes back to this committee, we have an update of the number of complaints and which stage they went on to, but we don't go into the detail at the meetings. Thank you.
Can I draw your attention to page 10 of the paperwork, and that is the results of investigations.
Through you, Chair, there is a flowchart that does document this process, which I'm happy to circulate with the committee, if you wish.
Any more? We'll just note that report then. Thank you. Yes, we're now going on to the next item, item 7, which is the earrings appeal and process review. And the purpose of the report, so if you can find page 15. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this report is essentially about 2 pieces of information, both interrelated. The first regarding the review of the appeals process, and the other part is information about counselling support for councillors under investigation. So turning to page number 17 of the agenda pack, the potential amendments to the appeal process. So members may recall that at a previous meeting of this committee, Councillor Rowlands suggested that appeals should only be allowed if there has been a procedural breach or if new evidence has come to light since the determination of the complaint. Since that was raised at the committee meeting, the monitoring officer has written this report and has suggested that there are potentially three options for this to be considered, so one of the options is to remain as is, in that there are a small number of appeals. In fact, as stated in the report, the last appeal was in 2019 and the one previous to that was in 2016. So members may wish to continue with that process and follow the principles of natural justice. The other option, which the monitoring officer has set out, is that the chairman of the appeals and review panel determines the threshold and therefore if it should be go forward to an appeal panel, or if in fact the monitoring officer should be that person who determines the threshold as well. I've just been corrected. Potential options for the decision maker would include the chair of the original panel as well. So that is another option as well. So thank you.
Councillor Rowlands.
Thank you. Sorry, I hadn't intended to speak so much tonight, but I realised I popped a bit on the agenda. So this one I am going to make a proposal on because I think it is of more significance, and I appreciate it's only happened a couple of times in the last 3 years, but when it has happened, it's no doubt created a fair chunk of work for staff and also councillors. So as it stands, if you go in front of a panel hearing at Charnwood, you can ask for that decision to be reviewed, so you can appeal that decision for absolutely no reason. So you can just say, I don't like the outcome, I just want a rerun of it. And if you think about any other situation, if it's a legal thing or not, you can't just ask for another person to look at it all again and hopefully come to a different conclusion based on exactly the same facts and evidence. You're just having a second bite at the cherry. And that, to me, doesn't seem right. And my suggestion is that unless you can show that there has been some kind of procedural breach or there's new evidence that's come to light since the panel heard your case, you shouldn't be entitled to appeal it, because it's another layer in the process. And in my view, for people, for the public looking in, they're just thinking, well, actually, you're just getting a second shot at getting the result that you want. And for me, that doesn't sit right. So that's what my proposal is. And in terms of natural justice, of course, if there's been a procedural failing in the process, then you would have the right to appeal still anyway. So you're not taking that right away. You're just limiting it to circumstances where it's right that you have the opportunity to appeal. So that's the basis for the amendment.
Councillor Bentley, I think you wanted to say something, did you?
Yeah, I'd like to second that.
Are there any other comments on it?
I should say my suggestion would include that we use the monitoring officer as the person to establish whether or not there has been, whether they would do the paper sift basically and say whether or not there has been a procedural failing in their view, or whether or not new evidence has come to light since the original hearing. I don't think it would be appropriate for the chair of the panel that determined the application to then decide whether it can be appealed. I think it would be better to have somebody else to do that, and the monitoring officer or deputy monitoring officer is probably the right person for that.
I'd just like to add in there that if it's going to be the monitoring officer or deputy monitoring officer, there also ought to be maybe an independent person as well to agree the decision. I'd like that as an amendment, please.
Councillor Hatchett.
Sorry to prolong this issue. It's Councillor Hatzinicolaou. Does the person who appeals have the right to ask for an independent representation by a legal firm, or it has to be, you know, somebody strictly following actually the council processes?
If I can clarify, my understanding is that they would represent themselves and put the appeal in, and they would come to the appeal hearing. But that's my understanding. Thank you.
I clarify they can have
representation, and sometimes that can be a solicitor.
Councillor Hamilton. Yes, I mean, I think I agree with Councillor Rowling that we need a suggestion of a more robust process fuels the right way. I mean, the problem I had was how the options for the decision maker, and I think I've already heard, because I certainly thought that the original chair just felt wrong. So the concept of the monitoring officer is absolutely correct. I think another independent person I'm not so sure of, but it certainly feels we need to firm up the process and then decide on who should make that decision.
Are there any other comments?
Councillor Paul Murphy, I agree. I think the monitoring officer should review if there's been anything gone wrong, or if there's new evidence come to light, and then if he finds there is, then appeal should be granted. If not, then no.
Well, we've got a proposal on the table that we ask the monitoring office, that the monitoring officer determines whether a case can go to appeal or not, and that has been seconded, plus the fact that the amendment to this, the proposal was that the assistant monitoring officer and a independent person be involved as well.
Sorry, just to clarify, my proposal doesn't include an independent person. I think, in my view, the monitoring officer or deputy monitoring officer on their own is sufficient. I think they can take a fair enough view on the facts that's put before them, as they do at the fact-finding stage and whatever else. So my proposal is that we amend the process so that you have to evidence a procedural failing or that new evidence has come to light, and the person that decides whether or not you are meeting that threshold is the monitoring officer or the deputy monitoring officer. But there isn't the involvement in my proposal of an independent person.
Thank you. Well, Ian's proposal wasn't seconded, so we will have to go, I'm afraid, with the first proposal. So are we all in favour of Councillor Rollins' proposal?
Chair, can I just, make sure that actually there's no councillor here that would actually like to second that proposal just before we move forward?
Is there any councillor here that would like to second Councillor Bentley's proposal that we include the independent person and the deputy monitoring officer? Well, we've got to take a vote then on the original, and then we've got to take a vote on the amendment. So, the amendment is that we include the independent officer, the independent person, and the deputy monitoring officer.
So, okay. Karen Widdowson speaking. Just to clarify, the original motion is that, as set out by Councillor Rowlands, is that the right of appeal should be submitted to the monitoring officer, and that was seconded by Councillor Bentley. So that is what you are voting on as the original motion. So can I see a show of hands in for that proposal? Thank you. Can I ask for everyone to show their hands again for four, please? So we've got one, two, three, four. And then four against, we have zero. And abstentions, we've got two there. So that's okay. So that... Can you vote, please, Chen?
No,
which way?
Because I want to vote on the second.
Or
against it, then.
We're against it, so. Okay. Karen Widdowson speaking. So four was four. Against was one. And we had an abstention of with two. So that was four. And then if we can now vote on the... That's actually been carried because that is four and that is a majority. So we now... That is the... We've voted on the original motion, so that has been carried, that the referral to the monitoring officer. Thank you.
Sorry. So now you need to vote on the proposal that Councillor Bentley put forward in including the deputy monitoring officer and the independent person in the process.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. And now moving on to the amendment, which is that it's in addition to the monitoring officer, it also be referred to the deputy monitoring officer and the independent person. So four, I have one, two, three, four. Against, one, two, three. And then abstentions... Actually, that's we've got none. So we've actually got a tied vote there. So we've got four. So we need to have a casting vote by the chairman, please.
I think we should go with the second amendment. Or the first amendment, sorry. Councillor Bentley's amendment.
Just to be clear, though, we're not saying that all three have to be involved, are we? So we're just saying it's the monitoring officer or the deputy monitoring officer and an independent person. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, thanks, Roy, for clearing that up. That is what I understood. It'd be one or the other plus an independent. Okay, thank you.
So for the record, that we've had the vote on the amendment and the amendment with the casting vote of the chairman as won. So that is so it has been decided that the matter will be referred to the monitoring officer or deputy monitoring officer and the independent one of the independent persons as well. Thank you. And now moving on to the next section of this report, which is concerning counselling support. So set out on page 17, it's explained that there is, for borough councillors, there is a private counselling support available, which is also available to members of staff as well. It's through a company that's contracted called Amica, and also... That service is not available to parish councillors. However, parish councillors do have access to support from LRALC, the Leicestershire and Rutland Association of Parish and Town Councils. And also, it should be pointed out that both parish and borough councillors can be signposted by the monitoring officer to access resources such as Samaritans, and also there is the possibility to go through the independent person as well. Also, the members who are members of political parties can also have access to the resources within their political party, and that is the level of resource that's available for supporting individuals that are taken through a complaint process. And that's for noting. Thank you.
Have I got any comments? Councillor Hadju?
Councillor Hadju-Nicolau again. sorry to be, you know, talkative tonight, but I have been involved in many complaints and the involvement of AMICA is coming actually pretty late, and usually from my experience after the conclusion of investigations. My personal observation about people under investigation is actually that it is a very heavy burden for their psychology and sometimes has a physical impact. And I wonder whether we should at some stage consider actually the limitation of the investigation time. Because and I have seen this with my own eyes, if you put somebody under investigation for 2-3 years, I mean, you may end up actually with a totally destroyed person. Taking as an example the NHS actually puts a limitation of 6 weeks. Do we have a limitation in the time of the investigation?
So if I can clarify, you are wishing to have a time limit on the amount of time the investigation takes. Is that what you are talking about?
Councillor Hatzinkola again. Yes, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Of course, you can have actually special circumstances where the investigation has to be prolonged. But, you know, the person accused deserves to know that actually the fact-gathering investigation will finish within a certain period of time.
So, Chairman, my understanding is that when we get complaints, so the investigation stage, the fact-finding stage, we, as a monitoring officer or deputy monitoring officer, we will try to undertake that within 3 to 4 weeks. We always intend to do that as quickly as possible because there may not actually be any further action that needs to be undertaken. Clearly, if there was, it's quite a complex case and more information needs to be sought and it is referred to a panel, then it will take as long as necessary to call the witnesses and get a meeting together. But I must stress that we always endeavour to do that as quickly as possible because we are very aware that it can be quite a stressful time for the individuals where there has been a complaint. And again, we need to make sure that it is fair, that we've got all the required witnesses, all the information, and that sometimes does take a little bit longer. But I've not heard of anything that takes up to 2 years. We certainly try to do it as quickly and swiftly as we can, bearing in mind officer resources and getting the right balance of information and witnesses to the appeal panel as well. Thank you.
Bradshaw, then Councillor Nicola.
Yeah, Councillor Julie Bradshaw speaking. Just to say, I think counselling is very, very important. I'm a psychotherapist myself, so I do deal with a lot of people and things can go on. So one little question is how long, when the process is going on, how quickly can they access that counselling? Because sometimes it's needed urgently. Thanks.
So I believe you're talking about the AMICA counselling service. So my understanding is that you can contact them, and it's they've got very wide working hours. They'll take basic information, and probably within 10 working days, you can be accessing the relevant support that you need. That's my understanding of how that works. Thank you.
Councillor Rowlands and Councillor Ball.
Thank you. In terms of the signposting, then, at what stage in the process, how early is it that we're pointing that out? Is it after fact finding? As soon as that's done, yeah, I'm getting a nod there. So as soon as that's done, we're saying, right, the investigation's found there's something for you to answer. Here's some counselling if you need it. This is the process going forward. Is that right?
So yes. So if what would need to happen is that the monitoring officer, deputy monitoring officer, once a decision has come from the independent person that it needs to go to a member conduct panel, it is at that point then that we should be signposting, when we should probably be more proactive about that in future. So yes.
How often is counselling applied for?
In my 2.5 years of working at Charnwood, I'm not aware that anyone has applied for the counselling for this purpose. I'm not aware of any, but right. That I'm not privy to every example of complaints.
Well, no. Okay, thank you.
Through the chair, so counselling is available from other sources, from like political parties, and so counselling could be, you know, received from other areas apart from Charnwood Council. Is that correct? Thank you.
Councillor Leon, you wanted to come back?
Just for your information and from my own experience with AMICA, AMICA is a fantastic service. Of course, they have a number of different processes. However, you need to keep in mind, actually, the AMICA involvement involves volunteer contribution of the people involved. In other words, actually, if you have a complainant, he may refuse or she may refuse, actually, to attend the meeting. And again, actually, certain meetings with AMICA may be inconclusive, and you may have, actually, at least one a second meeting. But that usually, this is usually the closure. So AMICA is not actually the key for all doors. So support of other sources is very welcome.
Any more?
We'll note those observations on the minutes.
We'll note all those observations on the minutes. Thank you very much. We're going to carry on to the work programme for the future meetings, and our next meeting is on March 16th, 2020. And if you look on page 20, there are a list of possible on the work programme, and as you can see, the work programme for the 16th of March is very, very light. Okay.
And I would also like to put on the record that usually at this meeting that we would be expected to see a report about the review of the constitution. However, no comments were received from either councillors or officers that related to the constitution, which falls into the remit of this committee. So it was removed from this agenda. So I want that noting for the record as well. And as set out on page 21, the work programme items are listed, and at present time, as the chairman has indicated, we have only 2 items. However, there could be more items between now and the agenda dispatch. So, thank you.
How do you all feel about what we did with this meeting? Was because it was so light, we left it up to the officers to contact us if anything came forward that we needed to discuss, like we have tonight. Originally, we decided that we would just leave it open, keep it in your diaries, but the officers will tell us if we are required or not. How do you all feel about that? Thank you.
I think there would be an expectation that the complaints received item and the Register of Members' Interest item, that we would provide you with that information before the meeting if you chose to not hold the meeting, so you could have the information by email.
Are you all happy with that then? Okay, thank you. Well, thank you for coming. I hope you all have a nice Christmas. And that concludes the meeting. Thank you very much.